dawn has broken, has it not?
Mouse, this is Davina. You are live on Channel 4. Please do not swear.
What, are you asking me if I'm happy? Listen, I've got £87 million in the bank. I've got a Rolls Royce. I've got three Stalkers. I'm about to go on the board at Manchester City. I'm part of the greatest band in the world. Am I happy with that? No, I'm not! I want more!
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Welcome to the Brit Cult Podcast.
With me, Mark Knox.
And me, Ross McConnell.
Welcome back. Here we are, episode 5 of the Brit Cult Podcast. Cannot believe we're 5 episodes in.
And 5 when you're having fun, Mark.
Time to the Friday when you're having fun. We think we're going to do 10 episodes, don't we? So this is like...
Yeah, we do.
Halfway.
But... We think we're going to do 10 episodes, but we've already started planning season 2, haven't we?
Yeah, and the movie as well.
Yeah.
Have you been up to anything fun this week, Ross?
Not much. I got a McDonald's breakfast on Wednesday morning, which is great because I haven't had one in a long time. But other than that, no, I haven't been doing a lot. Have you, Mark?
I've spent a lot of time on eBay. And I was bidding on some Robbie Williams tour t-shirts. So I really wanted some like retro Robbie Williams tour t-shirts. So I thought, here, I'll go and put a bid on like a couple of them and then I'll win one of them. Turns out nobody else is on eBay bidding on Robbie Williams tour t-shirts and I now own 5.
Wow, congratulations.
But with all those Robbie Williams shirts on, I'm going to be the height of 1997-98 tour fashion. And speaking of fashion, great link there. This week we interviewed fashionista. That's not what you call someone. We interviewed the designer. We interviewed fashion designer, model as well. Julia Restron Reutfeld. Hopefully I pronounced that right. Did you enjoy our chat with Julia, Ross?
I did. I loved it. I actually thought it was really interesting. This is the first non-British person we've had on the Brit Cult podcast, so it was really interesting to get that perspective of 90s noughties Britain from someone that didn't actually grow up in Britain and saw it from a different land.
Super. Before I start doing French accents, let's go straight to our interview with Julia. Welcome to the Brit Cult Podcast. This week we are joined by Julia Restron Reutfeld, and hopefully I pronounced that in any way correct. I did GCSE French, and it's all gone. Julia, do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah. Well, hi, I'm Julia, and I'm originally from Paris, where I grew up, and then I moved at 24 to New York, where I lived for 16 years. And I've just relocated to London, and I'm a creative director.
Wonderful. So having grew up in Paris, lived in New York and London, that's 3 big cities. If you had to pick, like, which is the best city to live in, where would you pick?
That's the toughest question to it. So I'm going to say Blur.
So we asked... Actually, Matthew Crosby a few weeks ago, if he would pick between Blur and Oasis, and he went with Blur as well.
I heard.
But do you have a favorite Blur song? If you have to pick.
Oh my God, there's so many, and I like mostly all the melancholic songs. So I love Well Off for Tomorrow. I love Clover Over Dover. I love End of a Century. I love Miss America. I love all the songs that are a bit like melancholic, sad with a little bit of hope at the same time.
I love Out of Time as well, in that same sort of
most recent ones. I mean not that recent, but
2003. Welcome to the Brit Cult Podcast. This week we are joined by Julia Restron Reutfeld, and hopefully I pronounced that in any way correct. I did GCSE French, and it's all gone. Julia, do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah. Well, hi, I'm Julia, and I'm originally from Paris, where I grew up, and then I moved at 24 to New York, where I lived for 16 years, and I've just relocated to London. And I'm a creative director.
Wonderful. So having grew up in Paris, lived in New York and London, that's three big cities. If you had to pick, like, which is the best city to live in, where would you pick?
That's the toughest question ever. A lot of people ask me this. It's really hard to answer because they're all amazing cities. They all have, they're all so rich in culture and all bring so much. Let's just say that the most important to me is maybe New York, for the simple reason that that's where I had all the biggest stage, a lot of big stage of my life. I came there as a student and then I started my own business and then I became a mom there. So there were like a lot of, I'm really attached to it emotionally. But I love being in London too now.
Brilliant. So we're going to play a game, this or that, with Ross. He will come at you with bands, villains, whatever, and you pick which ones are your favourite. Go for it, Ross.
You are quite into your British music, so I'm going to give you the first one. Is between two bands, and it's Blur or Radiohead.
Oh my god, that's a tough one. I'm a huge Radiohead fan, but Blur, I think it's the first Britpop band I was really into, that I'm still into. I still listen to it, to them regularly, and so many memories attached to it. So I'm going to say Blur.
Do you have a favorite Blur song? If you had to pick.
Oh my God, there's so many. And I like mostly all the melancholic songs. So I love I Love For Tomorrow. I love Clover Over Dover. I love End of a Century. I love Miss America. I love all the songs that are a bit like melancholic, sad with a little bit of hope at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Julia, obviously you work in the fashion industry as well. So Mark and I spent a lot of time trying to think of this next question. Denim jacket or leather jacket?
I would say denim jacket under the leather jacket.
Oh, wow.
That would be a strong look.
Yeah, it's a very strong look. I'll go for denim jacket though, for myself. I still have the same denim jacket I had as a teenager and it still fits. It was vintage already back in the days and I still wear it every summer. So I'll go for a denim jacket.
So you said it was vintage when you got it. I have a jacket. I was talking about this earlier on. I have a coat that is from 1992 and I was wondering how long can I keep wearing it? But if you're still wearing a jacket from the 70s, I can wear it for another long while.
Oh, I wear so many like old pieces. My mom used to buy a lot of vintage pieces for me as a kid and some were oversized and they still, you know, like to wear things fitted now and they still fit today. Some of them still have my name tag in the back.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think it's totally fine.
That's handy if you get it confused with someone else in a cloakroom.
Exactly. Yeah. It has my name embroidered in the back.
Anyway, moving on. So we've got two kind of iconic British movies here. We've got Love Actually or Bridget Jones.
Oh, Love Actually, for sure. It's such a feel-good movie. I can watch it all year long. It doesn't have to be during Christmas and every year. And I start to watch it. And that was my daughter who loves it too. I just like cut, you know, like inappropriate scenes for her. But yeah, I never get over this movie and I never get bored of it. And it's just like one of my favorite movies, actually. Just warms your heart.
The year came out, it obviously came out at Christmas. I didn't go and see it in the cinema, and then I got it on DVD, but it came out of DVD at Easter time. So it reminds me of Easter, because the first time I watched it was like Easter Monday, and I remember getting, you know, those really big bars of dairy milk that are like definitely for a family. I remember sitting and watching it and eating a full dairy milk, like family size bar, and feeling incredibly sick after. So bizarrely, every sort of Easter Monday, I think I should watch Love Actually.
It's your tradition.
So this next question might be a bit of a tough one for you to answer. It's between two bands. So we've got Snow Patrol or Ash.
Tough one. I'm joking. For sure. I'm gonna blush now. Yeah, for sure.
The only time I've actually the only time I experienced Ash live was at Snow Patrol in Bangor, the big concert.
Oh, I was there. Yeah.
Were you there?
Yeah, it was what, 2 years ago now. I was there.
Yeah. We could have bumped into each other.
Yeah, maybe we have. We don't know.
We may have walked past each other. So every week we like to look back to at what was number one in the UK charts whenever you were 14. So you would have been living in Paris, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
When you were 14. And number one in the UK then was the song Baby Come Back by, I think, Pado Benton. Banton. You pronounce it? Are you familiar with this song?
I am familiar with this song. I mean, it's the kind of song that you hear everywhere on the radio, but never, like, whether you like it or not, you can't avoid it.
Did many British songs, was British music big in France growing up?
It's hard to say because I really was into British music, but in my school, I remember as a teenager, not so many people were into it. I think they started to know a little bit later, like, I think Blur became popular, like, mainstream in France with Charmless Man, like, commercial, and maybe Oasis was a bit bigger, like, later on, but I don't know, it was very, me and my best friend at the time were really into it, and I was, like, just watching MTV UK Europe all weekend and evening and trying to find the new bands and the new, you know, like, I think I was, it was quite of a scene. It wasn't like mass, you know.
Yeah. There was
massive, or do you say like it was more niche back in the day?
Yeah. There was this one French song that I remember being a big song over in the UK in the early 2000s. I don't know if it was big in France. It was called Moi Lolita.
Oh my God, that was the biggest hit then, yeah.
Yeah, so they came out in the UK, and every now and again, it comes back into my mind, where I'm going, Washima below Lita. It was a big tune for me. I was about 10.
One of the few French artists that actually made it internationally. I think she was big in the US too, I don't know, but yeah, definitely a big hit in France.
So you said you were into Britpop, you and your friend were into that kind of genre of music. How did you first discover, like, Britpop?
I think I heard, like, Boys and Girls the first time. Like, ooh, I like that. Who are those guys? And then I became friend with this girl who was my best friend in junior high. And she was really into it. And then it just happened really fast. We went to a Blur concert. And then I was, like, going to the Virgin Megastore every weekend looking at new hits, new singles. That's the way you would discover music. And I forgot what year the Eurostar launched, but I remember that was one of my first trip abroad without, you know, as a teenager with my friend, without my parents, and saying we were going to HMV and trying to find things that you cannot find in France, and buying NME magazines, and we were really feeding on the culture and discovering new bands. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. And at the time, as someone who's into fashion now, at the time, what were you wearing at the time? What was the kind of fashions that you were really into?
I think I migrated from a bit grunge first, so it was more like Doc Martens and jeans, and then more into like the Britpop style, which my mom hated, which was Adidas and a bit like baggy pants and zip up tops, and very, very inspired by the whole Britpop scene for sure.
And can you remember what was, she said you went to see Blur with your friend? Mm-hmm. What was the first gig you ever went to?
Besides Britpop, like as a first gig, I think I went to see David Lee Roth with my dad, and I was about 4.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big first gig. I had said on...
Jump is a very important song.
It's a big tune. I think I said on the first podcast, the first gig I ever went to was Cliff Richard, which was really not cool. I don't know if he was ever big in France.
No.
I went with my mom. My mom promised me, she said to me, if you come with me to see Cliff Richard, I will bring you to see Boyzone. I was big into Boyzone, love of boy bands. And I went to see Cliff Richard in 98, and Boyzone broke up in 99. They then got back together when I was about 17, and my mom was like, I promised you we can go and see them, but I said, no, you're okay. I don't want to go see them now.
Obviously, being from France and living in Paris, but, you know, having such an interest in British culture and music and the style, were there any kind of like icons, British icons, that you looked or tried to model or tried to copy in your fashion?
I think I'm going to sound so cliche, but mostly like Kate Moss, especially in the like CK1 and CKB ads and just very minimalist. I think that I used to love Helmut Lang back then, and I think that's the first designer piece I got was a Helmut Lang blazer, which I still have today. Oh no, I remember now who was my main icon. It was Shirley Manson from Garbage, actually.
Yeah.
I cut my hair to have it short, like in the Stupid Girl video. And I was, remember, I think I was 13 or 14, I'm putting in like a lot of black makeup to look like in the Queer video, which wasn't a good look in school back then. But I loved it. And I was lucky my mom let me do it. Yeah. So yeah, he was my style icon.
Just as you work in, fashion.
Yeah.
And you've experienced the 90s and the noughties. What do you see coming back into style in the near future? I see a lot of posts about Y2K fashion and the early 2000s again. What do you see coming back?
It always come back in circles. I think the last few years were all about the 90s. But to me, the 90s were never really over. I've kind of had the same style that I've had since then. I mean, I dress really similar to what I used to dress back then. Very simple, just a simple long black coat and band t-shirts and jeans and the boots.
So what I was reading online was a lot of like the Y2K, sort of like baggy combat trousers and what other kind of stuff, like the sort of skatery style, you know, it's sort of like...
style of it.
Apparently it's coming back.
I've seen it a little bit on a few models on their Instagram. Yeah, like... the baggy pants, you mean, was like the underwear popping out and a bit like LC or all same style? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can rock that now in my 40s, though. I'm not sure I have the body for it anymore.
Mark, we've talked about this before on other episodes as well. Mark's trying with a lot of other people to resurrect the mullet. Have you got any opinions on the mullet?
I think only Brits can pull off a mullet, to be honest. Like, I don't know. Like, my boyfriend introduced me to Peep Show when we moved to the UK. And what's his name? Super Hats. He has that mullet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brit mullet. And I think I see so many guys with it here, but only here people can get away with it. I'm not sure it would work in New York, but in London, it just looks cool, a bit punk and rock and roll, really.
So we do our soundtrack every week as well. And every week we pick a song that's going to go on the soundtrack, and then people can download it and listen to it. Every week our guest picks one, and myself and Ross add another song every week. So Ross, what is your song this week?
So Julia, this is a bit of a tribute to you. This is by who's by?
Girls Aloud.
Yeah. Ooh. This is Girls Aloud, I Don't Speak French.
I don't know this one. I know Girls Aloud, but
I don't know.
No,
I don't speak French, so I let my funky music do the talking.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
It is a great tune. And that's what I'm going to add to the soundtrack this week.
It's good. Mine is also sort of a tribute to you and your partner. My song is Girl from Mars by Ash.
Amazing. And
I need you to find this out for me. Right? I heard this when I was growing up. So in Northern Ireland, there's a town called Newton Ards.
How do you spell it?
Like Newtown Ards. But okay. It gets shortened to ARDS, like ARDS.
All right.
And I heard, someone told me one time, that the song Girl from Mars was originally called Girl from ARDS, but it was too local.
I'll find out after hanging out.
Find out, is that real? Because every time the song comes on, whoever I'm with, I say, do you know this was originally called Girl from ARDS, but it was too Northern Irish, so they had to change it to Girl from Mars.
Oh,
so
find it out.
It's also absolute tune. 1994, it came out off that 1977 album, and I absolutely love it. So Julia, over to you, what's your song for the soundtrack?
You almost stole mine. No, I'm joking. It's another Ash one, though. It's A Life Less Ordinary.
Yes,
for many reasons. First of all, favorite band, and also one of my favorite movies at the time, and I went to see it just because Ash was on the soundtrack, and favorite actor as well. So it kind of ties a lot of things together, favorite era, favorite band, favorite actor. And I don't know, I feel like, you know, to end up with my music crush is kind of like a life less ordinary as well. So it's a tribute to all of that.
That's brilliant. You were saying about getting with your musical crush. And growing up, my biggest celebrity crush was Zoe Ball, who's, you know, the Radio 2 breakfast DJ.
Presenter or radio for that? The one with the blonde hair, right?
Yep. And I really want her on the podcast because I think she has stories to tell. And it's not just because I'm trying to, you know, live out my dream as a 10-year-old of meeting her.
Well, you have to make it happen then.
I have to
like send her a message. I mean, Instagram is pretty great for that.
Who was your celebrity crush growing up?
Like when I was really young, like probably 7 or 8, it was probably Britney. Because she was still young, even when I was... How old was she when she did that Hit Me Baby One More Time? She was like
16 or something.
Yeah.
Julia, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and for talking to us.
Thank you for asking me. It was a lot of fun.
It was good. Have you anything you want us to plug? Anything that you're doing that people should go and follow?
If you want to go Less Is More, it's my other account. And it's all about minimalism. In a sustainable way, but also a styled way, like 90s minimalism. So if you want to follow that, thank you for your support.
No worries. Thank you very much, Julia. Great, great, great chat with Julia there. She actually messaged me later on that day, and it turns out Girl From Mars was never called Girl From Mars. So there you are. Great, let's go into our poach bag this week.
You've got mail.
So this week our question was words that we used to use in the noughties, 90s that would be really like lame to use now. Lame is probably one of those words. So what do we get this week, Mark?
Massive.
Part of the massive, as in like the gang.
There's that, or there's just going, oh mate, this tune is massive.
So we've got another one here, which is talk to the hand.
Yeah. And people would show you their hand and go, talk to the hand because the face ain't listening.
This is such a like primary school playground insult. I thought,
yeah,
like, if you said that to someone, it would almost be like a whoa. You know, if you were in like a rap battle with someone and you said talk to the hand because the face ain't lit, like, and you walk away, you've won that rap battle.
Yeah.
Just to confirm, I never had rap battles in the playground. I'm making it sound like I did.
Other people had rap battles, but it was against your hand.
Yeah.
What about not? Like whenever you would say something like, your hair looks good today. Not.
I don't know why this ever went out of fashion. Because it's, that's a great kind of insult. That's a great put down. You build someone up and then immediately put them down. We've got another one here, which is anything from Wayne's World, which is now nearly 30 years old.
Yeah, well, catchphrases particularly, like any sort of like, there's a time when a TV show was like fresh and you would use the catchphrase and everybody would know, but now it can seem really strange. Or like if you use an old TV reference in front of a young person, they can just look at you like you're mental. Like if you were to stroke someone's face and go, ah, ah, ah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would be mental anyway. That was mental.
Some young mom's breastfeeding and you go, bitty.
I remember I've been to like Piccadilly Circus a few times and I have said like, what a shitty circus, because that is a reference from Wayne's World. But whoever I've been with each time have been like, what are you on about? What I would say is that I think all of these kind of slang words and catchphrases are much better than some of the ones we've got today. Like, I've seen a lot of people write and say, this slaps.
Mm.
This is like the current slang. But I just think that, what do you think of the term, this slaps?
Unless it's a video of a bass guitar solo where someone's slapping the bass. So like, I obviously live in Northern Ireland. Whenever someone starts talking like a sort of London roadman, but they live in provincial town in Northern Ireland and they're starting to talk about things being peng or, you know, their crepes being real sick, you're just like, oh, They're called your trainers, or if you want to be really Northern Irish, or goodies. There's a bit of Northern Irish slang for you. Yeah. But it's really cringe. But I'm sure it's not actually just a Northern Ireland thing I'm talking there. I'm sure if you live in Wales or Scotland or in Cornwall, it's also embarrassing.
So that is the post bag emptied for another week, Mark.
Fantastic. I love hearing from our listeners and our followers online. Make sure you keep sending stuff in. And if you have any ideas for the post bag as well, don't be afraid just to send them in. I check all the DMs. So get in, get involved. Great podcast there, Ross. Great chat with Julia.
Brilliant. Enjoyed that one. Very much enjoyed it.
Hopefully we'll get to join with you all again next week for another episode of the Brick Cult podcast. I don't know why I'm talking like a parish priest.
Hopefully we will get to join with you again next week.
Please, also listeners, if you're still here, thank you. But please go and leave us a review on podcasts, because the more reviews we get, the more they fire up them like in the search part of podcast.
Yep. Thanks, Mark. And as always, make sure you give the Brick Cult Instagram page a follow. Make sure you give Julia a follow, and while you're at it, follow myself and Mark.